Mark chapter 5, start reading in verse number 1. Mark chapter 5, begin in verse number 1. I'm going to stand just for a moment. I know we stood a little bit earlier, but it's, like I said, we stood longer for that, for things that don't mean anything. Amen. Mark chapter 5, appreciate the good Bible reading, and there's power in the Word of God. Amen. I enjoy that time. I don't know if anybody else does. If you don't, I hope you do. You need to read your Bible more, you will. Mark chapter 5, begin verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man can bind him, could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and that had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Excuse me. And as they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I'm going to preach in verse number 19 primarily the thought, "Go home to thy friends." Go home to thy friends. Father, you know what you'd like to do. I pray you'd overtake me and have control of everything so your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. No doubt a familiar passage of story, but the end result is we see a life that's been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of that, Jesus has some instructions. And, you know, the man comes to Jesus after being changed supernaturally. And he said, "I would just like to stay with you." And he besought him. We read in verse number 18, verse 18. He said, "And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Lord, I just want to stay here with you, physically present." He said, "No, that's not. I got something better for you to do. I need you to go to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done." I want to point out a few things regarding the man's condition, just to keep reference in our mind. The main things we think are physical aren't always physical or emotional or mental. Sometimes they're just spiritual. The man with the unclean spirit, places of death or darkness were his refuge. The Bible says he abode in tombs. You know, that's why I was driving the other day and I saw this place called the Occult Shop. And I thought, oh, how terrible. You know, I grew up in a little town of 4,000 people. You know, you never thought, I know we're in a mega city now, but I never thought I'd see anything like that. Shop for occult stuff, you know, but I'm sure that's one of many. Man, it just so happened to be on the main street. The man could not bring his life under control. He couldn't be bound. There wasn't men strong enough to bind him, and nobody could tame him. That means there was nothing they could do. There wasn't enough behavioral modification to get this man to change. They couldn't do it. He could not be brought under control. He had no peace. In a night, in a day, he was crying, emotionally unstable, crying, and also he was self-destructive. He cut himself with stones, and we definitely live in a day and age where people cut themselves, mar themselves, deface themselves. They cut themselves with stones, and it's not uncommon. I've been on the subway, and you see people with scars right here that have tried to take their life, you know, and people in the world would say they had a mental problem. And many times they just had a spiritual problem that they needed someone to help them with. Now, I want to look at a few things. Jesus tells him, basically, go home to thy friends. And, well, what's he supposed to go home and tell them? First thing he wants you to know is, number one, tell them how you came to Jesus. Tell them how you came to Jesus. Verse number six, we see this man here. We read of all his horrible condition. But the Bible says in verse number six, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He saw him and he ran and worshiped him. And he said, go and tell your friends how you came to me. Tell them how that when you saw me in the distance, somehow, even though everything that you had been, everything that you were, every problem you had, every condition, every situation, some reason, some way, that day when you saw me at the distance, you said I had to come. You knew that I could help you. And so go home, tell your friends how you came to Jesus. Number two, and looking at verse number eight, tell them how the word of Jesus brought you freedom. Tell them how the word of Jesus brought you freedom. Verse 7 and 8, actually, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, right now, those two things that we've already read, probably over half the religious world could not tell anybody anything right there. Because number one, they haven't come to Jesus. Number two, they couldn't tell how the word of God brought them any freedom in their life. It's just something that was around, something they memorized, something they had to go through as a child, something they had to endure when they went to church. But there's no testimony of how the word of God brought them freedom. And this man, hey, he said, you know what? No man could, I couldn't be bound with chains and fetters. Hey, I could not be tamed. But one day, a man whose name just happened to be Jesus, he said, come out of him. And know what happened? These devils, they came right out of him. Amen. Based on the word of Jesus Christ. You know, and you think about this is pretty good now, because it wasn't some long, drawn out process. It wasn't 10 steps to get this man free. It was a one-step program. It was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power within the voice of our God. I think it's maybe Psalm 29 talks about the voice of the Lord. One of the most powerful psalms you ever read, if it is 29, but the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And we need to recognize that. And for every child of God, you know, if you go home and tell your friends, that's a lot different than saying, hey, will you just come to church with me on Sunday? Will you come to church with me on Wednesday night? Go home and tell your friends how you came to Jesus. Go home, tell your friends how the word of God brought you freedom. Because if you're saved today, guess what? You like darkness for some period of time in your life. You like dark things. You like dark things more than you like light. They were a draw to you. And that's where you're, even if you didn't go hang out in those places, primarily your thoughts abode in places of darkness. What is darkness? Anything that's not the light, that's not Jesus Christ. That in things other than Christ you found your hope. And in things other than Christ, you thought you would find peace, but you found out you didn't. That's why you came to Christ, right? And you found your life was out of control. You would try to do this and it wouldn't work out. Or even if you didn't have a bad set of circumstances, when you found out that the one thing you could not bring yourself is emotional stability, except by the name that is above every name. And we already said it, no peace. Now, none of you may have got to the point of self-destruction. But you know, without Christ, everybody's headed on a self-destructive course. Everybody's headed to a place of death. And each time you say no to God, you're headed toward death. Each time the Spirit of God calls you into salvation and you say no, you're self headed for destruction. And there should be something about you that, hey, I got to tell my friends. And why? Because Jesus wants you to. They say, you shall be my witnesses. Go and tell your friends how you came to Jesus. Go and tell your friends how the Word of God brought you freedom. I was having breakfast this morning, and a waitress walked up and said, do you read your Bible every day? I said, absolutely. And I just couldn't help but tell you. I said, when I was 25, I gave my life to Jesus. I told her how I came to Jesus, amen. And I told her how the Word of God brought me freedom, how it hurt everything, and how so many things I tried, from Buddhism to meditation and practicing Kung Fu and all these things to try to have self-control and discipline and in my life, that nothing could do it except with the words of the living God. And so now, by the grace of God, I try to read the Word of God every day. Because it's the strength and the power to my life. And then I got to tell them how the devils are subject. The devil's spirits are subject to the authority and the name of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're saved at all, you may not ever think you've been involved in any spiritual warfare. But if you've grown in grace at all, at some point you recognize that the devil had the authority over the evil spirits. Over those things that try to pull you back, you know. I think Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, the child of God, the only reason you can say no is because of the authority of the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, John chapter 8, verse 44 said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Until you come to Christ, there's nothing that breaks that chain, and there's something that is able to say and testify. You know, I never thought I could get away from this. I tried so many times, but the name of Jesus Christ, I found out, was subject, that the devils and his spirits were subject to the authority and to the name of Jesus Christ. That's not mystical. That's not magical. That's just Bible. And so many people are suffering all around us. And they don't think there's any answer. That's why there's so many people on drugs and alcohol and every type of illicit pleasure to try to drown out this lack of peace and the agony. I mean, even gluttony, one of those things. We fill our bodies up with so much peace, pleasure, so we don't have to think about what's really going on inside. But the answer is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just tell them, go home, tell your friends that the devil's spirits and his angels were subject to the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, they're having a conversation with Jesus. They recognize that, now he said we got to go. We want to make sure he didn't cast out before the time, but can we just go into these swine? I mean, Lord, I know you said to go, and basically we have to do. You know, are you catching the magnitude of this? The devil's spirits have to do whatever the Lord Jesus Christ tells them to. I mean, it's whatever. If he wanted to go in tadpoles, they'd went in tadpoles. He'd have squeezed them all into one, amen, because of the power of his name. And we need to go out with authority when everybody's worshiping Harry Potter and all these other, I mean, there's been so many witch shows. I watched some show years ago. I remember something, a teenage witch. I don't even know the name. But there's always been something that got somebody's attention and thought that was neat. When I was a kid, it was Bewitched, I think, was the name of it. And everybody thought it was this harmless show about this nice little witch, you know, that was married to the family. There's no such thing as a nice witch because there's no such thing as a nice devil. You know, I would imagine until the pain of sin hit, Eve thought, man, this serpent is a nice, lovely person. You know, this serpent is here because, you know why the serpent came to me? I've been really missing out on life. And this God that made me really made me at a disadvantage. He made me and he knows I could have more. He knows I could enjoy more. But this God that made me is actually afraid of me. This God is selfish and he does not want me to be like him. He's trying to keep me back from real joy and real pleasure. But this nice, lovely serpent has come along who cares about me. I know God may be love, but I'm really feeling this love from the serpent here. And I trust this. And all of a sudden, she followed the serpent's words. And the curse and the sting of death hit her. And what she thought was so nice and so lovely and so beautiful caused her to hide from love itself. Isn't it amazing how people run from God? You ever think when you run from God, you're running from love itself? When you run from God's will for your life and God's plan for your life, you're running from love itself. And just some smooth person, some voice just says, you know what, this, I got you. I got you. I'll take care of you. You don't have to do everything that God says. But you know what? Go and tell your friends that, you know what, you found out that the devil's spirits are subject to the authority and the name of Jesus Christ. They're no match for him. Hey, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the darkness and things like, I mean, even though everywhere we turn, you can't go to the subway now. There's whatever the newest dark thing is on the subway billboard, whatever. Everywhere you turn, there's something dark. But by the grace of God, you know what? They cannot do a thing that Jesus does not let them do. And when you walk with him and you're one of his servants, he will work through you and he will allow you to do whatever he wants you to do. And if you just so happen to run into one of the devil's spirits, you just have to say, Father, what do you want to do with them? Woo! and let him do what he wants to do and have faith in his name. You know what happened to those devils? Whatever God wants happened to them. If you tell us, you know the thing, you want to tell your friends that? There are probably people in this room, we got friends that are in bondage that... They themselves don't know how to get out of. They need somebody to go tell them what Jesus can do. This is why Satan loves religion, you know. Because Satan loves us to go home and tell everybody a bunch of tenets of faith, tell them some information about our Baptist heritage. Every religion has a religious history, you know that? But we go home to our friends and tell them, let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you where I was lost and I was hopeless and I was helpless. And finally one day I heard of Jesus and I knew that and I came to him. All of these things I went through. And everybody's story is different how they came to him. But when you got there, you knew he was the answer. And you recognize that by the word of God alone. Now think about what a miracle that is. Because you know, if you're saved today, you know you heard the gospel more than once. And you know, but some reason, that day, that the way you heard it, it was different than any other time. And it was a miracle of how the Spirit of God illuminated your heart. And you came to Jesus and you gave in and you said, yes. Go and tell your friends that. Don't tell me you memorized well when I was a kid, you know, was baptized and memorized, did this and that. No, that won't help anybody. Jesus wants to go tell our friends what he, great things the Lord hath done for thee. Number four, go home and tell your friends that you're in your right mind. Go home and tell your friends that you're in your right mind. He said, well, I never was crazy like this guy was, but man, if you're lost, I guarantee everybody in this room, you're thinking it was messed up. Your priorities were wrong. All you focus on yourself. You thought just like the world, you had the goals of the world, had the hopes of the world, dreams of the world. Go home and tell your friends how Jesus gave you a right mind. I mean, Mark started reading something that was just kind of, where was it? In Luke chapter 22, he's already. I mean, if you stop there, was it Luke 21 where you started? Yeah. Luke 21. I mean, just and he looked about the gifts here. One poor mite had two, the widow had two mites. And that's kind of messed up thinking already. You know, the rich man coming and giving their abundance. You know, well, if we see, our thinking is that, you know, I sure would like to be rich so I can give a whole lot. But God said, just be who you are and give it all. You know, many people will never get anywhere with God because they're looking for more to give before they just give all that they already have. And God can use all that you have. Man, I look at that pretty white and I say, man, hey, Jesus is happy with that. She gave it all, amen. Hey, like I said before, who am I that I can offer this life, this Reiner Harper, you know, so full of sin, so full of messed up thoughts, but Jesus changed that thinking, amen. And we think wrong about things. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You're not going to conquer the world. You're not going to reach the world for Jesus Christ by some great plan. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. No, we got to witness. We got to go home and tell our friends. Tell them about how we're in the right mind now that since Jesus saved us. He saved us from chasing all. Since I'm from the United States, Jesus saved me from the American dream. He saved me from that. Because our country, the country is going downhill because that's what everybody's pursuing. He saved me. Hey, he saved me from the Charter of Rights. I'm a prisoner by choice. Amen. I don't have any rights. I have a relationship. I surrender all to him. Amen. He saved me. He put me in my right mind. And I've got more freedom than probably 80% of the planet. Because we already said it, you know. The God of this present world has... Who's the God of this present world, according to the Bible? Satan, right. He's blinded the eyes of him that see not. And we just read that our Savior has power and authority over the God of this present world. And last time I checked my salvation, he came inside of me. And since he's inside of me, that means in this world full of darkness, since he is peace. In fact, it spells it out very clearly. The Bible says he is our peace. I can walk anywhere. I've got more liberty to do anything he wants me to do. If the devil himself cannot move, unless Jesus says so, with Jesus living inside of me, I've got more freedom than the majority of the people on the planet. Because they're still under the subject. They're still blinded by the God of this present world. Isn't it amazing? If you think of how ridiculous it is to want to be like lost people, if you think about that. They're blinded. Just like Eve was blinded as long as she listened to his voice and she went his direction. Everybody know that? She's just like, wow, man, this is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. Kind of like it says in Proverbs about the man when he's headed toward adultery till a dart strike through his liver. And the liver, by the way, the liver is how your body purifies and cleanses itself, you know. And then that dart strike through, man, over. But go home and tell your friends how you think differently now. You got a right mind now. Tell them how, man, you were headed to all these goals, this vanity and everything. Now you've got a right mind. Tell your friends. That's what happened to him. He said he was clothed and sitting in his right mind. Jesus said, go tell somebody what the Lord has done. The Lord put him in his right mind. Number five, last of all, go tell them about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, go home, tell our friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, for what he's done for you. See, this is why it's so critical that we always abound in the work of the Lord, so we can tell people what God is doing. Now, he's talking about how he's free initially, but how he had compassion. You know, when compassion is a word that means a suffering with another. The Lord suffered for us. Go tell somebody how the Lord suffered for you. The Lord himself, how he suffered for you and how he had compassion upon you. It's also a painful sympathy. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By stripes we were healed, the Bible says. And go tell them about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these other people looking at this man. In fact, when even when he got healed, they said, could you get out of our coast? They were still scared of him, amen. But not the Lord. He had compassion on him. Go home and tell your friends how the Lord had had compassion on you. See, this is another reason why Satan loves religion. Because, see, when we're religious, we pretty much have earned the status that we have. And we were never low enough for God really to have compassion on us. And even daily, the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. You know, God gives you new compassion every single day. And to be able to testify the compassion, the grace of God. But see, We're so fearful of being transparent and real sometimes, we can't tell anybody about the compassion of God because we want to establish an image that where we don't need anybody, even need God. And go home and tell your friends how unworthy you were because God had compassion on you. Even if he speaks to you any single day, man, what a blessing that God would speak to someone like me. I was thinking about Abraham. I was reading about Abraham last night, and it hit me. You know how the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief? And I was thinking about that. You know, several different things about that. You know, and first of all, if you go back, when God first spoke to him, he said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And God, he believed God, and so God declared him righteous, imputed unto him. Then later, of course, we know he unfortunately listened to Sarah and then went into his handmaid. But you know, then later when God spoke to him, know what he did? The Bible said the Bible records that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And this is good if you catch this. When God spoke to Abraham again, even after he had not trusted God and went into the situation with Hagar, he didn't stagger. He believed God's promise, even though he had had a lapse in his own faith and trust in God. He believed, catch this, if you've ever struggled, he believed that the promise of God even superseded his own weakness and faith. That's good. If you'll catch that, that'll help you. If you take that home and think about that. If you didn't hear anything else, you ought to think about that. Because, and again, since the righteousness was imputed to him, the word of God records Abraham as being a man of faith and not staggering at the promise of God. Although we know that he had the situation with Hagar, God, the righteousness is imputed to him because he believed God above who he was and above his circumstances, above his situations, all those things, and is imputed unto him for righteousness. And that's good news. Because anybody, if God ever give somebody some direction and you believe God, And all of a sudden, somewhere along that road, somebody said, you know what, it didn't look like God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Why don't you just try this? And you tried it. Now, and God's faithful. Maybe another revival meeting, God came, spoke to your heart, said something. And God said, no, just trust me. And you can do one of two things. You can believe the renewal of God's promise coming to you. Or you can sit there thinking, well, you know, I messed it up back here with Hagar. I just kind of took matters in my own hands, and so I don't know God. I'm not sure if God can really do it now because he said, but he came to you again. He's coming to you again right now. You recognize it or not. He's saying, yeah, I can do with you what I said I could do with you. And trust him, amen. But he said, go home and tell your friends the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Jude 21, Jude chapter 0, verse 21. I like saying that for some strange reason. In my ridiculous, silly mind. Jude, verse 21. I was meditating, and that's where some of the thoughts from the prayer time that I put up on the board came. Jude, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Jesus looked upon a person that nobody in society could do anything with. And he had compassion upon him. You know, all of us, I would have bet all of us have some people in their lives that people that, man, can't do anything with him. Man, nobody can do anything with her. Jesus said, would you have some compassion? And if you really have been rescued like this man was rescued. You say, well, but I never had seven devils in me. But did you ever realize you're away from Jesus and you had to come to him? Was your darkness, was your lostness just as real as anybody else's lostness? See, if you're lost, we're not just talking about saying the prayers you can say, but I mean, if you knew you were separated from God and you knew and that agony and that emptiness of not being able to get to God, and you finally understood that Jesus was the only way. That's a gulf just as big as if you're cutting yourselves and throwing yourself in stone. I never did any of those things. I did contemplate suicide at different times, but man, I just knew I was lost and I couldn't get to God. And finally, one day, Brother Hardy was preaching, and the Spirit of God said, "That's for you." Amen. And thank God. I was hard-headed, but 3 days later, Wednesday morning, I came. And I still remember coming that morning. And that day, I knew that the name of Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, his resurrection, his complete sacrifice could do something for me that I could never work hard enough to do. Save me. Go tell somebody how. You say, "Well, I never had any devils had to be cast out of me," but remember what it's like to be under control of Satan and every wish and every desire would be all the world. You say, "Well, I'm sitting there struggling today." You know, you may or may not be saved, but I tell you this, if you really are saved and you're struggling, and you know you're struggling, that's good news. Because if you weren't struggling, if your conscience isn't bothered at all, then you might be concerned. It's great news when a child of God can enjoy sin. You know that? That's great news. Because that means they're a new creature now. And what used to feed them won't feed them anymore. It's a great news when a child of God is in sin and they're looking over their shoulder, wondering, is somebody talking about them? Now, they ought to be out of sin, but it's great news that guilt is there. It's hope for them. But you need to have a point where you say, "I came to Jesus, you know what? And I don't have to live like that. I finally realized it through the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have to live like that anymore. I'm free. Because the God of this present world, who used to be my father, and his lust I didn't have any choice but to do, I recognize by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have to do that anymore." Amen. Thank God for that. And tell them about that. Go home, tell your friends you're in the right mind. I used to, man, I just think this was it and this was it and this was it. But now I realize he's it. I was reading. When God introduced himself to Abraham, he says, "I am thy exceeding great reward." Woo! He said, "Abraham, I'm it." And everything that I used to want, everything to have, I found out he's it. Amen. He said, "I'm not... Abraham, here's something I'll throw you away since you're going to follow me." No, he said, "I'm it. You get me. No, I'm going to be your friend." And Moses got to talk to him face to face. And he knew this. Tell him about your right mind. Just be honest with you. You can think I'm crazy. Just tell people. You can think I'm crazy if you want to. My whole value structure changed since I came to Jesus Christ. I used to chase everything like you chase. I used to think like you chase. Like you think, you used to think this was valuable and that was valuable, but now I understand why Paul said, "I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that I might, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ." Tell them about your right mind. And you know what? With the right mind, you can do something that the world can't hardly do, and that's just simply sit still. You know how valuable it is. You know why yoga is so popular? Because people are desperately looking for some type of way to be still. And they're desperately searching for some type of way to do what only salvation can do. Now it's kind of disappointing. The radio, kind of the CD player didn't work in our car, and I used to listen to music and sermon while I'm driving. It's even dead too now. But I've enjoyed the quiet. Last time I went to, when I drove and preached in South Dakota, it was 20-some-odd hours, and just drove there in the quiet. But it wasn't quiet because I wasn't alone. And in my right mind, God talked to me. And what a God. And go tell him about the compassion. If you really are saved, you understand how unworthy you are. It wasn't your wisdom that finally figured everything out. It was the mercy of God that kept coming to you. Even though you were stubborn, even though you were hard-headed, he said, "Come here, I love you. Don't be, come here. I died for you. Stop running from me. something. I want to tell people that have been here and their lives are a lot worse since they left, you know. And you keep coming, I just want to stop running from me. I've left people messages. Stop running from me. I love you. Why are you running from me? Run to God or something. I don't understand. And Jesus would say the same thing. Don't run from me. He's saying today, you know, don't run from his perfect will. He'd like to raise up a group of witnesses in here. If you're saved, everybody's been possessed with something. And he saved you from it. And he didn't save you to go back into it. He saved you to go home and tell your friends. It's great we assemble, because two or three have gathered, and he's in the name. Jesus is in the midst right now, because two or three have gathered together in Jesus' name. But he says, don't just sit here. We can't just sit here and live for every assembly that we have. And we should enjoy every assembly we have. I wish we could have more of them. I wish we could go back to the day when people just worked daytime and their evenings were all free and people had priorities and people just said, well, God's work is going to be first no matter what. And let God dictate the schedule. And then we could meet several times a week and just rejoice. And in between those times, go home and tell our friends. And in those extra meetings, we would bring in friends because they need to know more about the Jesus that we know. We got to go home and tell our friends. And if you don't have anything to tell your friend what the Lord hath done, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. And this is the day he'd like to change that. That's not an accusation. That's not a condemnation. That's reality. God, we always should be abounding in the work of the Lord. And it begins with something very simple. It begins like we just read a text. He heard of Jesus. Once he heard of Jesus, he went to where he was at. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The word of God says. You've heard him go, draw nigh. And then everything else will take care of itself from there. Because, you know, I guarantee you, if you draw nigh unto God, something's going to happen. He's going to draw nigh. But most likely there'll be some type of affront that will try to hinder you from getting closer. And then you begin to recognize the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Because as God promised, if you would draw nigh, he'll draw nigh. God's going to keep his word. So if you draw nigh, he'll draw nigh, and you'll recognize. That doesn't mean it won't be opposition, but God will get done what he wants to get done. He'll remove something out of the way for him to get close to you. And then guess what? Then you listen to what he says, and he'll tell you what to do. You'll experience his compassion, his mercy, his grace, and next thing you know, you'll be able to go home and tell somebody, man, let me tell you, man, I was so far away from God. I didn't know how to get back, but I drew nigh. And I found that God kept his word. And guess what he did? He rebuked the devil. And guess what he did? He reestablished my thinking. I understand what it means now, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thought every thought had to revolve around. Mark read the verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for thinking about those things that are. I'm just talking about a specific time of destruction, but it says, "This is the state of most people. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." Many people are terrified even right now. And this not even. We hadn't even got to what he read in scripture, but just the way it is right now. Oh, is the Canadian dollar going to get any worse than it is? Men's heart failing for fear. What about the government, the liberals, the conservatives? What's going to happen? Men's heart failing for fear. Every week there's another shooting. It's getting closer and closer to my house. Men's heart failing for fear. The Muslims, what are they going to do? I mean, they get more and more power. What are they going to do? Men's heart failing for fear, for looking at the things that come on the earth. But you know what? Can I tell you something? My Savior runs this. And I serve him. So I can do whatever he wants me to do. If he wants to be martyred, I won't be martyred unless he's ready for me to go. And if I do get martyred, then praise God. Somebody will see the reality of Jesus in me. I don't have to be afraid of all these things. He gave me eternal life. I need to take to the millennial reign of Christ. And if we can really realize, wrap our brain around that time with Jesus being total authority and control and him rewarding the faithful here during that 1,000-year time period, we would laugh at how we try to accumulate and make a good life for ourselves right now. How we so afraid of having a short life. And God's going to, for 1,000 years, we get to rule and reign with Christ. That's on the earth. That's before heaven. Woo! What a God. That's enough to go home and tell your friends. So well, how come you don't worry about this? How come you don't worry about that? Well, you know how long, man, at best, if I could have everything that everybody says you need to have right now, the longest I might get to enjoy it would probably be maybe into my 80s or something like that. I may live longer than that, but the longest health-wise I might be able to enjoy it, maybe 85 or something like that. My mom is in great health. She's 80. I think she just turned 80. I remember actually, I might have to say 90-something. My neighbor, Miss Manley, when I went to Bible college, she was 92, and she was still doing her gardening in the front yard. Woman had great health. Well, maybe even if I make it to 90, you know. Boy, I'd love to be preaching at 90, man. You think I'm long now. I might be really short then. I don't know. Because of our, but can you imagine? But even if it lasted that long, then full, if I could have the health of a 25-year-old till I was 97, enjoy everything this world had to offer, boy, it's going to seem like such a cheap trade-off when I could have enjoyed 1,000 years to rule and reign with Christ and enjoy blessings and rewards based on how I served him right now. You know, and the sad thing is, the reality is, too many people listen to the voice, they trust the voice of the serpent more than the voice of the living God. The serpent that says, yea, hath God said. You know, God knows that if you really, God knows you're going to really miss out on something. God's keeping you from all the stuff that you really can enjoy. No. God's trying to keep you in a situation that's going to reward you beyond measure. And right now you can have an exceeding great reward in the person of God himself. I guess the invitation is very simple. Do you have anything you could tell your friends? I want you to think right now, in your circle of friends that you know. Do you have anything you can go home and tell your friends? Can you tell them how you came to Jesus? Would you tell them how you came to Jesus? Can you tell them how the Word of God, words of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought you freedom? Can you tell them how you know that Jesus has power and authority over the devil and all the works of darkness? Can you tell them how you have a right mind now because of Jesus Christ? And if you could tell them, do you have enough compassion that you will tell them? Should be easy answers. For those who know Christ, God wants it to be. Because God wants many other people to have the good news of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to this earth, dying on the cross in the place of sinful men, being buried 3 days, being raised from the dead with power and authority, so that you and I could believe in him for eternal life. Let's go tell our friends, amen. And if you can't, you don't have anything to tell them. If you're saved today, maybe you're just away from God. God's trying to show you where Jesus is at right now. He just says, "Come." He just come unto me. Come back. He just come back. He didn't say feel bad where you're at. He just said, come. He's calling you. And if you're not saved, you already know that. And so he just says, come. Answer this. Same as well. And if you're walking perfectly right with God, he says, keep coming. Amen. Just keep coming. And then he said, I'll show you some more good things that I've done. I tell you, God's good. I tell you, this year, I can't hardly stand what I've already seen from God. And it makes me more and more can't hardly stand me. But at the same time, I recognize, wow, that he's a God of grace, that he would work with me. And I thank God for that. But let's keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I told somebody the other day, you know, sometimes this is what happened to a lot of people, and this used to happen to me. If you really are attempting to do something for God, two things happen. Number one, you surrender and you feel good about surrendering to God. That's a blessing. But then God begins to purge you. So he begins to show you more about yourself. Why? So he can bring forth more fruit. Now, Satan is smart. Satan will take that purging and try to get you to feel condemned and say, well, I can never do what God wants me to do. No, God's not showing it to you for that reason. God's purging you so you completely be dependent upon the Lord. Satan takes that and tries to beat you down to make you think, well, see, look, you failed here. No, God's purging you. He knows you. He knows our frame, that we're but dust. And Satan tried to take something God is trying to do in your life. And so don't think, when God's working in your life, don't think too much about what you're not. Think much about who God is. So when you read your Bible, if you come to church and get convicted about something, just think about long enough to turn and put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you have the power to get out of it. But if you keep thinking, oh man, I'm here, there's another message, I'm not where I ought to be. Think about Jesus Christ, the power, the magnificent God that he is. If you're saved, the God of your salvation, that rescued your soul eternally from hell, that you're his child, and he's just calling you. He's just saying, come back home. You know, he's not trying to tell you you're a good-for-nothing wretch. He said, come home. Just come home. I'm calling you back. My mercy is there for you. I sent it out to you. He said, come get some. Amen. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, Lord, and I commit the souls of these people unto you. I thank you for the privilege of being a preacher. And better than that, I thank you for the privilege of being just a sinner that you had great compassion on. And I thank you for the privilege to be able to tell people what great things you have done. I thank you for the power and authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to give direction and discernment and to give orders so I could take the steps that you want me to take. Father, for those that know you, they already know what you need them to do. So give them the faith to obey you. And those that are without Christ, would you, whatever it is that they're afraid of, whatever it is, whatever prideful thing they're holding on, instead of trusting Christ, would you break that down? Would you show them your great goodness? Would you overwhelm their hearts and their minds and their souls and flood them with your great goodness so they would repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?